If you will, take your Bibles and look with me in the book of Jude. There's much in this little epistle by way of warning to those who make profession of knowing Christ or knowing the truth and yet are still in darkness and lost. And that's really why I want us to read a portion of this epistle tonight, because in our study in Titus chapter 3, we're going to be looking at some instruction as to how to deal with the unconverted. We live in a world that, as we understand it from Scripture, the majority is unconverted. Scriptures say that narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. If we take that as the Word of God, which we should, that means then it condemns the majority of this world. I know people get upset when you talk in those terms, but we need to ask ourselves, well, how is it that we deal with people who are still in darkness, religious darkness? They may be those who get up and go to their places of worship on particular days, may be zealous for good works as they perceive them. But as Paul said, even in his day, that Israel was that way. They had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And what was his prayer? That they might be saved. That they might be delivered from that ignorance and that darkness in that sense. And so here in Jude, verse 17, we'll begin there. But beloved, and you can see beginning with the word but, now in a contrast with everything that was said before, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own. Now again, remember how we interpret this. They're ungodly or unreverential. They're less than God-fearing lusts. Whenever it's not just talking about fleshly lusts, as you would think in terms of immorality and that sort of thing, it's talking about religious lusts. Whenever you see that word ungodly, it has to do with how they worship. These be they who separate themselves sensual, but notice here, having not the Spirit. This is hard for some to fathom, that actual church buildings could be packed full of people who are nothing more than sensual. In other words, they're being driven by their own emotions and their flesh, and preachers love to play on it. They can move, just like coaches, preachers can move people through crowd psychology. It's very easy to do, but that's not the work of God. Having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Again, what faith is that? That's not subjective. There's nothing holy about any subjective faith that we have, but it's the truth, the doctrine of Christ, which is holy. The gospel. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and and ever. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, I thank you for bringing us together again this evening. And we acknowledge that our presence here is truly of you. And we're thankful that you have not only opened the way for us to meet together, but given us the desire. So we come asking that you would teach us again of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us through your word of how it is live in this world that we're surrounded with ungodly lusts and false worship. I pray, Father, that you would be our teacher and teach us through your word to the glory of your Son. We give you the praise in his precious name. Amen.